Good morning, church family. We begin a new psalm today. How precious the psalms have been. One of you wrote me recently, Michelle and I were quite moved by this testimony. Hi, Tim. I'm not ready for this precious study to end. Sad face. Have so thoroughly been blessed by it during this lockdown. My spouse got for me a journaling Bible some time ago, and I've dived into making the brief notes next to the stanzas forever to be reminded of this precious time in Psalm 119. I often struggle to read some of the Psalms, but this study has helped me understand how to start studying them for myself. The hymns and poetic commentaries have blessed my heart so. This lockdown has been pleasant because God's word has truly sustained me in it. Thank you. Boy, if that doesn't fuel the preacher. Here we are now in the second psalm. In the turbulent days of the French Revolution, a rebel stormed the Bastille fortress in Paris, and he had the audacity even to scale the Cathedral of Notre Dame, which has recently come crashing down in flames, hasn't it? And he tore down the cross atop its spire and dashed it into pieces to the ground below. Then he looked out on the watching crowd and gloated, saying, "We're going to pull down all that reminds you of God." Those were the heady, arrogant, revolutionary, rebellious days of the French Revolution, very much like the attitudes we see today, so much of the socialist and communist agendas. But the story's not over. From down in the crowd, a simple peasant shouted back, "Citizen up there, then you might as well pull down the stars themselves." That's what Psalm 2 is all about, the stupidity of every attempt to overthrow the sovereign rule of God. Turn there now in your Bibles to Psalm 2. Psalm 1 and 2 are a package, usually viewed as a two-part introduction to the entire Psalter, the 150 Psalms. They stand together, Psalm 1 and 2, like two great pillars under an archway, welcoming you into the book of Psalms, inviting you into a life of worship. You see, Psalm 2 ends where Psalm 1 began. You may be more familiar with Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. On his law he meditates day and night. He'll be like a tree of water planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. His leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. It ends with the blessed man. Psalm 2 ends where Psalm 1 began, with the blessed man and the truly successful person, real happiness, true prosperity, as God defines it in the midst of a confused world that gets all the definitions of success wrong. Notice also, Psalm 1 is about the two contrasting ways to live. Psalm 2 now applies those to nations and kings, not just individuals. So you see, whether on the micro or the macro scale, whether it's personally or politically, there's really only two ways to live: the blessed way or the cursed way, God's way or the world's way. It's the story of our lives. It's the daily headlines. Psalm 2, beloved, is a coronation psalm. It's to be sung at the enthronement or installment of a new king in Israel. Look back at 2 Samuel 5, for example, when all Israel came to anoint David as king in Hebron. This is the kind of psalm they would have had on their lips and sung at the top of their lungs. Think about it. Transitions in leadership are usually an anxious, vulnerable time for any nation, any people. Just look at the states right now with the election coming up in just a few months. When a nation awaits a new king or leader, they are ripe for strife within and attacks from without. So it was for God's people in every age. And so the Lord has mercifully given us psalms to sing in these crucial and tumultuous and uncertain times. Israel might have also sung Psalm 2 during a national crisis to remind them that God had installed their king. The worst threats from the nations would ultimately fail. Let me read this psalm to set the stage for the next week or so that we'll spend in this psalm, and then close with prayer and a few final comments. I'll just frame it for you now. We're titling this God's Invincible King, as you might have noticed on the JPEG image that was sent out with this video or a file. And we're going to be, the songwriter is going to be taking us through four scenes displaying the ultimate victory of God's King, so that you will embrace Christ before it's too late, and so that we will exalt Christ and proclaim him as we ought. That's where we're going. And next time, tomorrow morning, we'll get to the first scene. But let me just read it, and then I will use a, we'll pray, and I'll use a hymn as well to conclude us. Psalm 2 begins, "Why are the nations in an uproar, and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury, saying, but as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will surely give you the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall shatter them like earthenware. Now, therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, that he not become angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him." Or as a songwriter put it, William Good, in the 1700s, "Those sinners boldly join against the Lord to rise, against his Christ combine, the anointed to despise. Though earth disdain and hell engage, vain is their rage, their counsel vain. Jesus, the Savior, reigns. On Zion is his throne. The Lord's decree sustains his own begotten Son. Up from the grave he bids him rise and mount the skies with power to save. O serve the Lord with fear and reverence his command. With sacred joy draw near, with solemn trembling stand. Kneel at his throne, your homage bear, his power declare, and own the Son." Amen.